And I'm sure Ed Begley Jr. was like, no, I wouldn't do it. He's probably not even a vegan. He probably just said an excuse to go, no. I'm not putting fucking mayonnaise on my lips while I sleep.
Mayonnaise in my bed. Over and smear mayonnaise all over the bed.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates within Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Hello, and welcome to the...
Keep it going.
Hello and welcome to the Incomplete series, your incomplete guide to every show you've never watched. This is the podcast where we watch the first episode of a television series and then the very last episode of that television series. And then we just try and figure out what happened. Joining me to do this is my good friend Jeremy Wiseman. Jerome, how are you?
I'm good.
Enjoyed the new intro?
Yeah, I did.
I did not. It really threw me off.
I thought we'd left
it. We do love a gotcha intro.
Yeah.
To really catch you off guard, Morgs.
This is because we were late here.
That's what you get.
I really hate that laugh.
You're on time. You don't have to deal with friend rush.
No, I think I would have been dealing with it regardless.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, anyway, back to the intros. My name's Morgan, and joining me to do this is my good friend Jeremy. Jerome, how are you?
I'm good. I'm well.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah. Aaron, how are you?
I'm excellent, Morgan. I'm excellent. Keen to get stuck into Diagnosis Murder. Some DVD action.
I cannot tell you how excited I am to be doing this. And finally, Scott, how are you?
I'm well. I'm glad that I'm not in a hospital and I'm recording this podcast right now because I don't want to be in that one.
Did DVD, Dick Van Dyke, did he invent the DVD?
I think so. I rammed it after himself.
Yeah. I think he...
That
sounds right.
Yeah. I mean, it's what it stands for.
I can't think of anything else that it would stand for other than Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke video disc.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
DVD.
The DVD. DVD.
But this show, Diagnosis Murder, I was so excited to do this when we discovered
this. Yeah, you were pumped.
And it delivered for me. Not so much the last episode, definitely the first. but we'll get into that a little bit later.
It's not a sort of mashup that you see often, the old hospital police crossover.
And they mashed it hard.
They did.
I think there's a good reason why you don't see it often, because those two don't really naturally overlap.
No. Like,
they're both emergency services, but outside
that's
of that.
That's about it.
For the uninformed listener, Jeremy, can you describe who Dick Van Dyke is if somebody listening hasn't heard of him?
He's old.
Okay.
He is old. He was in Mary Poppins, I believe.
Yes.
He was in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. The black and white movies from like the 50s. And he's still kicking.
Yeah, he's 92.
I was surprised to find out that...
oh, really?
Yeah, he's...
I wasn't sure.
Born in 1925.
Yeah. Him and Betty White have just got their Horcruxes spread very well and impossible to destroy.
We'll find him one day.
We will. One day. We will.
Well, not if they had anything to do with it.
One of them's
no.
Like 8-season box set of Diagnosis Murder. Surely that's one.
I'd say so. And then I would say the Murder 101, which was a TV film series that came about 2 years after, which had Barry Van Dyke's son in it again.
Oh.
Yeah, they were detectives.
Keeping it in
the
family.
A lot of Van Dykes in this.
A lot of Van Dykes.
You might also recognize him from an episode of Scrubs, where he played one of Dr. Kelso's old mates who refused to get with the times.
That is actually one of the best episodes of Scrubs going around.
It's really good. We were watching some clips from him before. It was really good.
It's quite heartbreaking in the end when he's sort of like, it's point, like he's such a lovely guy, but he's just completely fallen out of touch.
Yeah.
And it's so sad when Kelso has to like kind of go,
force him to
you
retire.
You can't do this anymore. Yeah. Oh, great episode.
Van Dyke, he's a pro.
He is. You know, he is a pro.
He was good. I enjoyed watching him. He sort of added, I don't know, he was believable as the role of the doctor, I thought. Weird that he had to cast like all of his children and grandchildren.
Yeah, that's a lot. But I think he's just doing it as a favor, though.
It's all in the family.
Just expressing his power, that he has a large family.
He is the patriarch.
Exactly.
Of Hollywood.
The empire.
Yeah. Of showbiz.
Yeah. I also want to...
He might be. I don't think there's anyone older than him in showbiz.
No.
You and I had a discussion about this earlier. He has a tremendous head of hair.
He does.
Like a tremendous head of hair.
It's fantastic for... He would have been like late 60s.
Probably early 70s.
Early mid 70s for the run of this.
Yeah.
Fabulous hair.
We spoke about this with Mr. Sheffield last episode in The Nanny, where he was harvesting hair from his children.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that why DVD had such a large family?
I think so.
To keep that hair nice and thick.
Hair donors. Mm.
Yeah.
Donor implies that they're giving it to
him.
Yeah,
sure.
Willingly.
Yeah.
With an empire like that, you just take what you want.
He harvests it.
Yeah, from his own children.
Yeah. Very similar to like, if you've listeners playing along at home, if you've seen War of the Worlds, how the the alien sort of picked the people up and minced them into a paste and sprayed everywhere. That's what he does with his...
I do not like remember that.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He makes like this sort of... It's like blood and bone. But,
right.
You know how that's...
Oh, like a fertilizer.
Yeah, like a fertilizer out of his...
He's got like a little spray bottle. He just sprays on his head.
Exactly. And because it's the same DNA...
Why, in War of the Worlds, why do they do that?
Huh?
Why do they do that? They
the aliens want to keep their hair growing.
Ah, that's why. Yeah. Oh, they're trying to terraform our world with our bodies.
Terraform their scalps.
Tom Cruise jumped on the couch that time. Payback.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Put his feet on their couch.
Exactly. little known fact that the War of the Worlds aliens are actually the producers of Oprah.
Yeah. I see. And they're also
they've just got their couch reupholstered.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they're very petty.
Looking
that
guy out again.
Exactly.
Fuck Tom Cruise.
Exactly. They're very petty. And they're also got very, very deep pockets, shallow arms.
Shallow arms?
Shallow arms?
deep pockets, short arms.
Sure.
Like T-Rexes. But Diagnosis Murder, let's look at the show. Scott, what did you know about Diagnosis Murder before we jumped into this one?
Honestly, absolutely nothing. I didn't even know it existed before you brought it up. Yep.
I'd heard of it. Yeah. Like, I'd heard the name.
Yeah.
Didn't mean anything to me, though.
Mm.
Even that you'd heard people say it.
Yeah.
You've heard the word like murder and diagnosis before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've read a dictionary. Or two.
Or two.
Yeah.
You like to break the
do they vary much?
No, pretty much the same. You know, your Oxford, your Collins. The other ones, Collins, yeah.
Your Macquarie, your Urban.
Mostly the same, yeah. Urban's a little bit different.
Do you pick up the thesaurus every now and again as well?
No, refuse to. Don't believe in them.
Words should have one use only.
Exactly.
Once you've read the dictionary, it becomes redundant.
Yeah, that's fair. What about you, Az? Do you know much about Diagnosis Murder going in?
Not much. I just always grouped it with MacGyver, Murder, She Wrote, all those M shows. And all week, I've been saying to Scott, oh, we're doing MacGyver this week. What? What are you talking about?
How have we not done MacGyver?
I know, right?
Yeah.
Quick pivot. Right.
Quick pivot.
I think we can.
We could probably...
But
we'll just go off the episodes of Diagnosis.
Yeah. We can paste it together.
It's fine. Dick Van Dyke's pretty malleable. Yeah. He can play anything.
I reckon MacGyver loves a pivot.
Oh, he loves a pivot.
Mm. It's a very important trait in this modern age.
We should do MacGyver.
Change things up on the fly.
We should.
Right now?
Well, not right now. I just don't think...
Did they make a movie?
The MacGyver movie?
Yeah.
Or I think you're thinking of MacGruber.
That's a good movie.
Great movie.
They're doing a second one, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they like calling it MacTuber?
It was like 20 years ago, wasn't it?
Calling it MacTuber. No, it was like 6 years ago. Why would they call it MacTuber? That's terrible. That's not even funny.
Oh, sorry. I'm thinking of Hot Shots.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's very, very similar.
They are very funny. Both of them. Jez, so you didn't know anything about MacGyver then, I assume? Diagnosis Murder. God,
I've actually watched all of MacGyver.
Yeah.
No, that's
number one fan.
I can't back that up. Not really. I think I sort of knew the like the promo shot of Dick Van Dyke in the lab coat.
Or playing the clarinet.
Yeah.
Riding on the scooter.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to see that.
We can talk about this when we get to the first episode, but he seems to... The man seems to enjoy alternative forms of transport.
We will get to that shortly. I had seen a little bit... A couple of episodes because I remember it was a daytime TV like staple.
Oh, yeah.
It was always running through on one of the channels, and I just remember catching bits and pieces here and there.
Shouldn't you have been at school?
I had my sick days.
You went to the Dick Van Dyke School of Learning.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that sentence.
Just basically got the box set of
Murder, She Wrote.
Diagnosis Murder.
MacGyver, She Wrote.
I just sat down and just watched that. So I've been completely educated by that.
Is Dick Van Dyke in Murder, She Wrote?
Probably.
I think that was a crossover with Monk.
Really?
Diagnosis Murder.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you get those two in a room together. Ooh. Tony Shalhoub and Dick Van Dyke.
I thought Diagnosis Murder was at least 10 years older.
Me too. And
I was very surprised it finished in 2001.
I was convinced it was English as well. I was sure of it. It looked like one of those, you know, like Ballykiss Angel or something. I don't know.
What did you just say?
Ballykiss Angel. It's like about us. I don't know. It's like
But what are you actually
saying? What are you saying?
Ballykiss Angel.
How many words is this?
Ballykiss Angel.
Oh, Valley?
Valley.
Oh, Valley Kiss Angel.
Yeah, it's like an Irish TV show. And it's like
Valley
set in a small
Kiss
time,
Angel.
Small time, small town. I figured that maybe there was like, he was the town doctor and also the town.
I'm Googling this and nothing's coming up.
Town cop.
Oh, it's one word.
Yeah, exactly. That's why
it all ran together.
Exactly.
Sorry, Jess. You were
like
right.
Fran Drescher.
Valley Kiss Angel.
One word. So I thought he was maybe like a small town doctor, but also the cop because,
No.
Not enough heads to fill all the roles.
Yeah, right.
He's a big shot. Head of internal medicine.
Ooh. What's external medicine? Like skin?
Head of external medicine.
Hair?
Hair? should be the head of that.
He's in charge of the organs, I think. This was the impression that I got.
Yeah. And the thing is, he probably has like four hearts and like...
Yeah. He collects them as he goes.
Oh, exactly. That's why he's in such great shape. and such great hair.
He's got so much blood in his body.
That's why he's in such great hair.
He's in such great hair.
Yeah. Just plugs that bad boy straight on. Yeah. We could talk about his hair all day, and we will come back to his hair. But in the meantime, should we just jump into episode one?
Episode one begins with an ominous cold opening where a mysterious man delivers a zinger to a priest during confession.
Forgive me, Father, for you have sinned.
After running the man down in a car and sending him into a coma, the murderous priest sneaks into the hospital and injects air into his IV. But he was spotted by a dementia-riddled homeless woman. She was admitted into the hospital earlier in the episode, and Dick Van Dyke, playing Dr. Mark Sloan, had been trying to sing her back to good health.
Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
Dick, with the help of his real-life son Barry and character actor Scott Baio, managed to track the murder back to the priest. They uncover an armed robbery he committed years ago, killing the man at the hospital to keep his secret safe.
I have the Lord's work to do. Goodbye, Dr. Sloan.
The police, accompanied by Dick of course, confront and arrest the priest on the church roof as he's about to send the homeless woman off the building to meet her maker.
That first episode very much delivered for me. Yep. I really enjoyed it. Mm. I had a lot of fun.
You're so upbeat about this show.
I'm all in on DVD. I'm all in. I'm all in on this.
His stocks are rising.
Massively.
How do you feel about BVD? Barry Van Dyke. So he plays his son in the show and he's a cop. I don't know if he's not the chief, but he's like a detective.
It shows the clout that Dick Van Dyke must have had just to go, I'm doing this show and my son's going to be in it. Yeah, he's going to be in it. Because I look back at BVD's IMDb and it's pretty thin. It's pretty much just stuff that DVD has teed up. And Dick Van Dyke has just got a stack of made-for-TV movies and just... It's like he's just got that sweet Mary Poppins money, so he's just sort of gone to neutral and go, I'll just play myself in a bunch of things.
There's something like five made-for-TV movies for this show.
Yeah. Really?
Yep.
That's so many.
It's a big franchise.
Why do you need them, though?
I don't understand.
What could they have possibly done?
Eight novels? Just do it in a double episode.
He goes and like works at a hospital in Cuba or like...
But still, just do it like a double episode.
Yeah, and I'm sure they did do lots of double episodes.
Or maybe they did just release the double episodes separately as movies. I don't know. Need to look into that.
Back to this episode.
Mm. Yeah, so I thought compared to the last episode, which we'll get to, they balanced the diagnosis and the murder much better.
Yes.
Yes.
There was equal parts sort of police drama and medical drama. Even if some of the medical drama seemed a little bit forced, like the old lady's story arc, when an ambulance full of about 20 doctors comes in.
Business great?
Yeah, great.
Oh, come on. I thought this would be a great opportunity for you students to find out what emergency medical treatment is firsthand.
She's like a clown car of doctors.
Yeah, she's homeless, so she's passed out on the street. And then Dick comes over being the head of internal medicine and like gives her one puff in a oxygen mask and then she's fine.
Yeah, she just gives him the biggest grin in the world.
Yeah,
She's so stoked to see him.
Oh, well, if Dick Van Dyke revived you, you'd be pretty happy. Like, sweet.
And then anyone else put me back under.
Yeah, exactly.
Going on with that, I was chatting to Morgan about this off air. Is she like in the age where she's a love interest or does he see her as an old woman? Because he is also an old man.
Here is my theory. Yeah. I think that Dick Van Dyke is like the... sexually appealing character for older people.
Okay.
So like if you're between the ages of 70 and 90, Dick Van Dyke's like your Zac Efron type.
Yeah, he still looks good. He still looks good.
Oh,
and the hair.
Very appealing gentleman.
Yeah, it's charming as hell too.
So when he had a love interest in the show, which he almost definitely would have, I'm assuming he's a bachelor.
I don't know.
Would they have been like 30 or 40?
Yeah.
Or would they have been in their 70s?
I'd like to think they're in their 70s.
I would like to as well, but I can almost... Yeah.
I guarantee it's in their 40s to 50s range.
Yeah, probably younger. Yeah.
I would be interested to see...
like a 23-year-old playing a 39-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, the Van Dyke clan didn't get that big by him just sort of, having one round of kids and then putting it in the whole stuff.
Oh, no. Definitely not. There's more than one family.
The man's been sowing a lot of seed.
Oh, for a long time.
Quick fire.
I mean, you don't get an empire like that from just being married once.
No.
I'd say he spent a lot of time in Utah.
But yeah, so I think they balanced the, you know, it was good. And with Barry, BBD was good.
Very conventionally handsome, Barry. Got that nice American square jaw.
Yeah, very, is it Jensen Ackles?
Yeah.
It's like old Jensen Ackles. With the flowing hair and...
It's flowing.
Kind of looked like, oh, what was the guy?
I do not like that hairstyle at all. It's like a middle part slick back. It's really weird. And it's also like, and he's also like a whole thing about how he's going bald in that first one. The man has the thickest hair in the planet.
Yeah. Kind of like in the last episode of Ghost Whisperer, her husband.
I reckon he looks
Beveridge.
More like...
Yeah, very Luke Beveridge-esque with the heavy...
With the middle part?
Yeah, middle part and the solid jawline. Yeah.
I thought he looked more like when we did Sabrina. Sabrina's that guy she's going to marry.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Reminded me like...
All conventionally handsome men.
Conventionally handsome men. I think like they might have like... It might have been a failed experiment from Dick. He's like, oh, this son didn't work out, so you can just... Not be inside the diagnosis murder.
Anyway, up on Sabrina.
Franchise.
Dick was on Sabrina.
Dick was on Sabrina.
Yeah, he's on there for an episode. Apparently,
but he DVD looks like he would fit in that universe.
Yeah, I reckon Dick's popped up sort of every single show once,
at least.
I think he just sort of wanders onto set, just strolling around.
Can't
like
say
eating an apple.
Do you reckon we can get?
All right, can you guys get me in on this scene?
Yeah, I'll take a little side action on that.
They can't say no to him. He's the king of Hollywood.
It's true. I would.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we can write you in somehow. He's like, yeah, do that. I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Write me in. Don't put any lines. I'll just I'll come up with
that. I'll just do my bit. Yeah.
He's camera ready at all times as well.
Well, he's probably got an army of children just like constantly touching him up, makeup wise,
tending to his face and
plugging
hair.
His hair in.
Mm. What about that priest / criminal?
Mm.
He was a real unlikable fellow.
Where were you, Father?
I'm not sure I like that question, Doctor.
I'm not sure I'd like the answer.
Anything else?
No, but for now.
He was just too menacing all the time.
He was very menacing. Just the way he'd look at people.
I loved at the start how he even had the Bible with a cutout hole for his gun.
This is like...
You could put it anywhere. keep it in the church.
And I get why they did it, but it's just like, this is the most likely place they're going to look. Like,
keep it in the glove box of your car or something. It's America. Like, you can have guns wherever.
Yeah.
Now, Morgan, if you would kindly turn around and look at that framed... picture on the wall. We see who the gentleman on the right is.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
That's the priest.
It is the priest.
That is the priest.
Gulami.
And he was in
his name?
He's in First Kid.
He was in First Kid, which apparently we have a framed photo of our wall on. The great Disney picture classic. First Kid.
I don't care to explain why that's there, and I don't think the listeners need to know.
I don't think we'll
you guys are classic.
You're just a fan of First Kid.
I am.
Yeah, Scott and I were watching the first episode, and we're like, "Oh, that guy's really familiar." Scott just turns around. And
oh my god, he's on
our
wall. It's so strange that he's there.
Have you guys seen First Kid?
No.
Like a long time ago,
it's a Sinbad classic.
Yeah. The guy that plays the priest is also the voice of Rafiki from The Lion King.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's probably his
Rafiki
biggest
being
role.
The baboon that holds Simba.
Oh, yeah. He puts a bit of a Jamaican-y...
Very tasteful, if I might add.
Yeah, sure.
He's an animal. He can do what he wants.
There is one... Sorry, this is just to get back to the show. One little criticism I had.
How dare you?
I know. One of my favourite moments was when DVD's just kind of cruising around the hospital and he's talking to Scott Baio.
Scott Baio, also... Blah, blah, blah from...
Development. Yeah.
He's like real
happy days.
Bastard.
Yeah. Hey, whoa.
Get out of here.
Hey, I'm a street guy.
I'm walking here.
Jeez.
Grew up around stiffs.
Yeah, he grew up around stiffs, as he points out.
He's got these guys' slang term for dead bodies. Seen him so often. Where did he grow up?
Maybe he's just like mid-conversation, just leaning on that other doctor.
Yeah.
I'm just going to use your shoulder.
It's a real jerk, that Bayo.
Real power move.
Anyway, speaking of Bayo power moves, when they go to the strip club and he's like to his the female doctor, he's like, you don't want to come in here. I need room to work.
You see, I may have to work in a little bit to get her cooperating.
You know what I'm saying?
And lasts about 10 seconds.
He goes and sits down at the...
I need to talk to you about this person. And then he gets kicked out immediately.
You need to leave.
Where was the room to work?
I don't know.
It's like this is the first time he's ever been to a strip club.
Yeah. he cave repair because he had a stack of like 50 ones that he sort of whips out. Here we go.
My theory
part of any good medical kit.
So why does he jump straight to it? Just like you've got all these ones. Buy
a dance and get into one of the private booths and then ask
a question. He's got no discretion.
Oh, no. My theory is that he's actually not a hard man and he didn't grow up in the streets. It's all like a facade. Like,
he just pretends.
He grew up watching those sorts of TV shows.
He grew up in like I don't know, Newport, and he's just actually like really wealthy and
pretty rare to see a dead body in your lifetime, especially when you're younger. Just out in the streets. He acts like he's seen hundreds of them. Where did he grow up? In war zone?
Possibly. But what I was going to say before was there was a moment where the paramedic comes in.
Excuse me, Dr. Sloan. We got another emergency call. Do you want to bring your class?
Yeah, thanks, Ed.
I'm like, you're an emergency service. The ambulance has just gone.
I just got to go check with DK.
And in that time they went to go out, that guy easily could have died.
While the paramedics double park. Quickly just got to run in and see if Dick wants to come.
Bring the 20 medicines.
Yeah, you got to run. Dick's the head of internal medicine. You got to run everything by him.
Dick set the protocol.
Yeah. Exactly.
You got to do what he says.
Was it a Van Dyke? One of my Van Dykes that were hit? No. Then leave them there.
But the other thing, so
need to be on standby in case a real emergency happens.
Exactly.
When they do go out to, you know, he takes all his students out on a field trip to see the, you know, passed out old lady. There are like 20 of them in the back of the ambulance. If they actually had to put someone in the ambulance and take them to the hospital, where are they going to fit all these?
They're going to walk home.
They're just going to walk home?
Yeah, just behind on the stretcher.
Now do the old, the Kim Jong-un. Just have them all run, like, jog next to the ambulance.
It goes 10 miles an hour. Speaking of people being in places that they shouldn't be, and also of Dick doing whatever he wants, when they're busting the priest at the end, when he's like about to throw the old lady off the edge of the thing, Dick Van Dyke's just there? Mark Sloan. He's just there. He's just like ready to deliver some one-liners at the priest.
And they use that patient, the woman from the start who they resuscitated, as bait, an old woman with dementia who is like half a second away from being thrown off a roof.
And that's the other thing.
How did they get her in?
Yeah. I don't know.
Who's organising this
operation?
And
she's magically cured of Alzheimer's at the end of the goddamn...
She's the least reliable witness possible.
That's what I think.
No one's going to believe you.
Why is he so concerned with killing her? She has Alzheimer's, as you said.
Like, no one's going to believe her. She was literally calling him God.
It's you.
Excuse me?
My Lord and my Shepherd.
She's clearly crazy.
You can't say that they didn't tick both boxes of murder and diagnosis.
No,
with
this
her,
is true. So it definitely.
She was really touching both planes.
She's touching death at the same time.
She was a weird B story though. Like the little pennies from heaven that they played or sang at least 37 times.
Every time it rains pennies from heaven. Don't you know? Each cloud contains pennies from heaven.
How hard do you think DVD worked to crowbar a sing song into every episode?
So often. I love it though. Especially he's a performer.
The weird scene where he was dancing with the penguins seemed unnecessary.
The animation was it was great.
Well done, but it just didn't really fit. The 37-minute
diagnosis
musical.
Or murder.
I do have a sneaking suspicion that this show really is just built around Dick Van Dyke's abilities.
Yep.
Mm. Oh, 100%.
I can sing.
And
I can dance. I can tell some great jokes. I've got a thick head of hair.
I'm goofy.
Brilliant mustache.
This is what the show's about.
And I can diagnose.
Exactly.
I can.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to be a doctor, head of medicine, and I'm solving murders.
Because my son's useless.
Exactly. He really does carry Barry. Barry's not the sharpest actor.
And he's like completely preoccupied with... The only scenes that he's really there for is talking about, going bald.
Okay, now here's all the hairless people in your family that she's worried about.
And Aunt Edna.
Aunt Edna. There. Bad perm. Bald. Now, everybody else in the family has got a full head of hair.
I have heard that you can get a bad perm and your hair can just fall out.
It's really?
Worth it, it's
extreme.
Worth it.
Extreme.
Oh, yeah. That's it happened.
Lucky yours took.
What's that?
Lucky yours took.
Yeah, well, this bad boy is hard to maintain, but it's worth it.
Anyway, so when they're sort of, he's sort of giving his son advice, or they're both sort of fleshing out the murder case, which doesn't make any sense. He's a doctor. his son's out for a run, sweatiest man alive.
Yeah. We'll talk about that. Continue. Yeah.
But Dick's just rollerblading alongside him.
Isn't that 5 miles?
Almost.
Dad, hold up. Hold up for a minute, will you, please?
What?
And he's terrible. And they're like...
Yeah, he's like clomping around.
And it's like they've been gone for 5 miles.
Yeah. Barely staying on his feet.
And meanwhile,
it would be
Barry,
hard to keep up with someone like jogging at a reasonable pace on rollerblades for that long.
I mean, he looks
Barry, like a 70-year-old man.
He looks like he just stepped into them.
Yeah.
Barry is sweating bullets meanwhile, and
Dick's just gliding along effortlessly.
Unless he's just getting towed behind Barry. It's like a bit of weight training.
Okay, yeah. Maybe that was it. We only saw the end.
Yeah.
Maybe he goes off some jumps.
He loves some alternative
Alternative transport.
Loves alternative transport.
It's a new extreme sport.
Yeah. Because in the intro for the last episode, he's like going down one of the hallways on a scooter.
They really shouldn't have that inside the hospital.
He checked out by the last season. I don't care. It's like, you reckon we can get a scooter scene in here? It's like, I don't know how it fits. Do it. Make it work.
It makes sense. When I was, in like the late 90s, it was all about those like little scooters around. Yeah. So they're probably trying to work it in.
How about where he's at the church, because he goes there like 10 times in the episode. He ends up in the confessional booth, and he's like the managing director of the hospital or whatever comes in and starts talking about him to what he thinks is the priest. And he's like, give him some slack. Yeah.
I understand he's a fine man and an excellent, excellent doctor. I'm quite sure that he tries and he means well. We should try to overlook his... eccentricities, say 500 Hail Marys.
It's like, think about this guy and how good he is. The way that they explain in the show is like he couldn't open the door to the booth, so he had to do it. Like he couldn't get out. Surely you just say, Steve, sorry, it's me, Dick Van Dyke. I'm not the priest.
I was trying to hide from you.
Yeah.
There was another scene I want to talk about, and this happens in a lot of it's a big thing in older TV shows. I don't do it as much now, where Van Dyke just shows up to the strip club and just says, I'm from, without any form of credentials, just says, I'm from the CDC. I'm checking out this outbreak of this. I need to interview your strippers at the back by myself. Then the guy's like, yeah, sure, of course. Like, but when Bayer went in there and just tried to ask questions, just completely got stopped within seconds. But Van Dyke just can...
He doesn't have the authority.
He doesn't convey the gravitas.
Mm. But doesn't show... I think he might show a... badge. I don't know where you got the
like real
from.
Quick that like the old Jedi mind trick.
It's actually his wallet.
Yeah.
It's a picture of Barry in there. But it's one of those things that always happens in shows.
Such a weird trope.
And it's like no one would no one would just go, yeah, of course you can. No one would just accept that you're coming in to inspect the whole place and then interview the strippers. It's just bizarre.
You say that, Morgan, but I happened upon a subreddit the other week that was, I can't remember exactly what it's called.
Strippers
on
that?
Yeah, the r/strippers. It was something like r/, I'm supposed to be here or something. And it's basically like people giving tactics on how to get into places where you're not supposed to be. So there's like somebody might post saying like, I want to get into the Academy Awards this year. And they're like, okay, like here's the different ways that you could do it. And you just have to make a couple of things, present yourself in a certain way. And like, sometimes people just let you in places.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I remember the Chaser did something where they said you can get in anywhere and do anything as long as you had a ladder with you. No one would ever stop you. And they got into I think they got pretty far into the G20 summit with just holding a ladder. And then they got arrested and they got a bit of prison time. I think they got detained for like 30 days, but it was awesome. You can get anywhere with a ladder.
And if you've got Dick Van Dyke's face, you could probably get anywhere.
Okay. Mm. Well, look, on that note, should we go ahead and jump into episode 2?
I believe we should.
The finale of Diagnosis Murder starts off with a documentary film crew investigating a paranormal activity down in an abandoned section of the hospital. The crew is trying to blow the lid on an old murder case involving a nurse from 25 years ago.
All I need is 10 minutes of footage to go with these interviews. I know I can raise enough to make a feature out of this.
And what are you going to call it? The Blair Nurse Project?
Oh, hey, that's not bad.
Yeah, and so original.
Meanwhile, for the B-plot, one of the lead doctors at the hospital, Don, is relentlessly hitting on another doctor, Amanda.
Dr. Matthews, I thought you'd given up on me. What's it been? 8 years?
Must be getting old.
As the crew films, more and more sinister happenings transpire, and it is revealed that Craig, the director of the film, is actually the son of the murdered nurse. It turns out that the creepy Dr. Don is responsible for the murder, and Craig confronts him in the basement.
If it's any consolation, I didn't mean to kill her. God, she was so beautiful. I may have come on a little strong.
Don overpowers Craig, knocking him out and dousing him in gasoline, lighting the entire abandoned floor on fire. The Van Dykes, however, arrive just in time to apprehend Don and save Craig as we find out that the ghost of his mother protected him from the flames. And that's where they leave it all for Diagnosis Murder.
All right, I want to get straight into this. So he's got a tape. Just diving straight into the deep end here.
Yeah.
He's got a tape that, like, proves that the ghost of his mother protected him from the flames.
Yes.
After he's about to be murdered. And he's like, I'm not going to give this to the paranormal guy. I'm going to bury it with my mum.
Yeah.
With the bones.
Proof that a ghost exists.
But even beyond that, why would she want that?
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
That's a really weird gesture.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So you can eternally rest with the footage of somebody trying to murder your son, just like how you got murdered.
The same guy. He doused me in gas.
Yeah.
Like, literally poured gas on him.
So many... the writers at the end of... Or the whole crew, after they film that scene, they're like, all right, we can't do this anymore.
We're done. We are done.
This episode was so bad.
It was really bad.
Unfunny episode of Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know if that looked like the set.
Yeah.
The acting was even more wooden.
It was, I can tell you now. So
those Van Dykes cannot act.
They're all Van Dykes.
There were six Van Dykes.
It was ridiculous.
So let's reel off which ones they are. So there's like the two young, like, reporter-y ones.
They're both
Van Dykes. They're the grandchildren, probably.
The other young doctor, Alex.
Escorting them around.
Yeah.
He's a Van Dyke.
That's three.
Craig, the director.
He's a Van Dyke.
And then there's Barry and then Dick, obviously.
Yeah, Craig is actually Barry's son in real life.
Craig is Barry's son.
Yeah. So there's that scene where all three of them are there discussing it.
Oh my God.
It's the three generations of Van Dykes.
And there's
shooting the shit.
So Barry's married to Mary Kerry Van Dyke, and their son is Kerry Van Dyke.
Mary Kerry Van Dyke.
Is the mother
and then Kerry played Craig.
That'd be like me being called Andrea. It's my mum's middle name. Who?
Andrea Wiseman.
I like that.
Yeah, let's get around that.
Andrea.
It sounds more exotic.
Dre Wiseman.
You call me Dre.
Dre Wiseman.
I think you can pivot.
I think you're Dre now.
It's time to shake things up. Yeah, Dre Wiseman.
Great.
All right. Cool.
I'm going to change my last name to Van Dyke. I feel like I can get into places with that last name.
Yeah, most certainly.
Just that and all that is
you
all you
at
need.
Least end up in an episode of whatever murder. Show Van Dyke's on these days.
Oh, whatever Barry's doing.
Yeah, but people may know Craig Van Dyke from his great work on Titanic 2. Megapython versus Gatoroid. He was also in Titanic 2, which was written and directed by a Van Dyke.
Shane Van Dyke wrote and directed.
Who is Shane Van Dyke?
Well, there's a lot of Van Dykes.
That's not the question you should be asking. The question you should be asking is, how is there a sequel to Titanic?
Yeah, Titanic
What's
2.
The sequel?
Well, no, I was
the
aware.
Titanic
I was
sank, a, it's over.
I was aware of that.
Where's
there was
the sequel
going.
Come into it, though?
It's
Who knows?
What are you doing, Shane?
He's the black sheep of the Van Dyke family. He's got that Van Dyke money, though.
Is he like the Nicolas Cage of the Coppolas?
I think so. Yeah. Only a Van Dyke could have the audacity to think that they could do a sequel to the Titanic, like the highest grossing movie of all time.
Bigger and better.
Shane's like, I can top it.
Surely James Cameron would have had to have signed off on them to make it.
He's also a Van Dyke. He changed his name to Cameron.
James Cameron Van Dyke.
He didn't want to live in his father's shadow.
Yeah. Fair enough.
His father, Craig Van Dyke.
Did anyone else find it very strange that Dick Van Dyke had a real human skeleton?
Yes.
That was the silliest part of this episode. Yeah.
And then him explaining how they cleaned it. They get all these flesh-eating bugs and they put it in a...
Yeah. It's a bit much.
So, yeah. Can you explain that?
Okay. So, they basically come to the conclusion that the body of Craig's mother must have never left the hospital. And then as they're talking through, it must be somewhere around... And Dick Van Dyke goes to lean on... The medical skeleton in his office that, might I say, is just jauntily, he's put one of his funny hats on it, which is just disgusting now that
like a Groucho mask, glasses and nose on it.
And then he looks like must have said something about a fracture to the back, and then looks under the hat, and there's just a fracture on the back of the skull. And then he, like, takes, like, in order to get it tested, puts it in a big bag and takes it down to the police station. Which is, it's one of the funniest, most disrespectful sights I've ever seen.
Wouldn't they be the ones doing the test anyway? Yes. They're the hospital. They
could do the test. They've got the guy there.
Yeah, like, doing everything else.
Yeah.
And so they cotton on by saying that the doctor who killed the woman 25 years ago, he was in charge of getting the skeletons for the medical school for the last 25 years.
What a
gruesome... Do they just not ask questions? It's like, oh, we need two more skeletons for next year's class.
Just get it done.
I'll get them.
I don't want to know how you do it. Just get it.
I got a guy. Don't worry about it.
What a gruesome job for an intern as well. I got this dead lady here. You mind just like cleaning all the flesh off her bones?
Yeah, yes.
Got to meet his quota.
I just love that he had the hat on her.
Sorry, I didn't even think of the
it's
fact
a real
that
human skeleton. He's just got these.
No one asked the question of where this body came from. Because Dick was like, oh, yeah, people would donate their bodies to science. Like, well, hang on, how did this one slip through the cracks? It's just some woman that was murdered in the hospital.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, oh, I've had this skeleton for about 25 years.
Hang on
a minute.
The photo of the woman just did not look
old enough.
Yeah. It didn't look like it was
from the 60s something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like it had been taken the day before.
Exactly.
Which it would have been.
Yeah.
100% would have been.
Wait, hang on. That's like a color photograph of someone clearly alive in the 2000s. You can see a computer behind it.
This episode, particularly, just ripe with stereotypes.
Yep. Yep. They really, surprisingly, I think it's an 8.1 on IMDb.
Yeah,
I think it had a really strong fan base. I think it had to.
But even there's a lot of Van Dyke.
There's a lot of Van Dyke.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. They probably run and own IMDb for all we know.
Internet movie Dick Van Dyke
base.
Yeah,
that's what the D stands for.
There are no productions on there that don't star Dick Van Dyke or a Van Dyke.
At least one. You got to have at least one, even if he's just in like your sound department or editing department or like one of the caterers.
Yeah.
It's a rule in Hollywood. It's like they got at least one Van Dyke on each production.
Yeah. They've got to meet their quotas.
Yeah. Yeah.
I loved how Craig finally cracked the case and by realizing the sound on the tape. Was that Dr. Chewing? Yeah.
Just how did you know to check for sounds on the tape?
Blair said, it sounds like you're close to the truth. I thought that was odd. Why would a ghost say sounds like? Sounds.
But why did you check the sound on the tape?
How did you know to check the sound? The tape for sound?
Yeah, that was such a stupid line.
This guy's obviously, you check it for sound.
As somebody...
one of the two things you check.
It's audio-visual medium. Yeah.
We got nothing on the visual, no point checking the audio.
Speaking as somebody who's been to film school, they don't even tell you that there because it's that obvious there.
They just assume it that you would
make
know.
Make sure you check the
obviously,
sound.
Obviously, you're going to check the sound. What the fuck?
So the sound that he did check, it was just that doctor must have been so close to a mic, just.
What is that?
I don't know.
It's every scene. I went through and rewatched it, and it's actually really annoying.
Well, they had
like,
to
if
really,
you knew that guy, it'd be so.
They had to embed it as a character trait, so that you'd be like,
it's believable.
It all makes sense. And of course, his mum shows up to protect him from the flames.
There is a video I want us to put up online, which is where.
Is it the footage of the ghost mum?
No, it's better than that.
We need to put the ghost mum clip up because that was hilariously bad.
That was hilariously bad. But the other one was where Craig's going back down to the basement and like the elevator doors are opening and the creepy janitor, whatever his name is, Harry's just waiting there.
Yeah,
and the thing's open and he just goes, and he has this like really surprised, like, it's like that.
Terrible acting.
It's like they must have taken like 15 takes.
We're just not getting it.
I said like, surprised.
I just looked surprised, and that was the best he could do. And then Dick's like, just we'll keep that. It's fine. It's their episode.
We'll put a musical sting behind it. It'll be okay.
Exactly.
Show's getting cancelled anyway.
Yeah. I'm done.
We are done.
We did mention earlier how cheap this episode looked.
Mm.
There was a great bit of trivia I saw on IMDb about this show. Apparently, one episode they wanted to do a motorcycle stunt, but they didn't have much of a budget for it. So it says here, Dick Van Dyke, being a computer animation enthusiast, created the visual effects on his own computer using the Lightwave 3D animation software.
Dick did.
And they were used on the show.
Dick!
Oh, no.
He was paid $200 for creating the sequence.
He was paid?
Yeah.
Well, then why are they...
And extra credit.
Oh, God.
His show.
Dick, they got Dick.
We need to find that.
We
absolutely need to find that.
The geriatric. He'll be great on the computer. No, my grandkids don't have this.
This man can do anything. He's the absolute renaissance.
Far up Microsoft Movie Maker.
And
he's a regular Leonardo da Vinci.
He really is.
He's the bloody renaissance. I love him.
Can we get that clip?
We need to find it.
That has to be found. And
how is he the one doing the animation?
How is there not somebody else? Like, there's a whole editing team there. They would know some people, surely. Like, if you really want to do it. Exactly. I'm pretty sure they've got the access and the resources to it. Yeah. I mean, this show ran for 8 seasons.
Yeah.
Had a bunch of movies.
Don't worry, I've got it on my Windows ME.
But he's... The thing is, the whole budget of the show, he just must have absorbed all of it. Like, he just would have been paying... He just would have... say it's like, I don't know, 100 grand an episode. He's been paid, like, $85,000.
Yeah.
The rest is the food budget for him and to take home for his family.
Or, actually, pretty frugal. Or getting extra money for doing the... forcing them to pay more for doing stuff on his computer.
I'm sure he was probably like the key grip for the other scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like, he was just doing extra jobs here.
Got his hand out after each one.
Yeah, nah, I want extra... Be paid. I want to be paid for everything.
God, this show was bad.
Hey, you leave this show alone. I really enjoyed Dyke. That last episode was real garbage.
It was
real first
bad.
One... The first one, I'm like, I want to watch more of this. Yeah, I genuinely want to see more of this.
It really does have a Baywatch Nights vibe.
It does.
In that, like, first episode, great. Like, legitimately, like, really quite good and entertaining in a kitschy sort of way, but pretty self-aware, I think.
Yeah.
And then, just last episode completely train off the edge of a cliff.
Yeah. Oh, it's
not an 8-season show.
No.
No.
8-season, 5 TV movies and 8 novels.
I know.
They really extracted every...
I know for a fact there is an episode. I don't know for a fact, actually. Maybe it's my memory playing tricks on me. Maybe it's not even Diagnosis Murder. Maybe something else completely.
Can't go back on that now.
But let's just roll with it. There was an episode, I'm pretty sure, where there's like an evil version of Dick Van Dyke and he takes his place. Like,
what do you mean? I would not be surprised.
I don't know. Like, they knock it. Like, he, like, I don't know what's going on. I just remember seeing it. Like, Dick Van Dyke's going for a little jog on the beach. And then, like, one of the henchmen knocks him out, and then they take him back.
Henchmen?
The evil Dick Van Dyke. So there's an evil Dick Van Dyke that like steals his identity.
I believe it. I completely believe it. 8 seasons. They would have had to have done it. Maybe twice.
Clearly, it clearly got really wacky towards the end.
Yeah. I reckon that was a whole half season story arc.
Yeah.
Do you think he did the special effects in that episode where the ghost mum appears?
Absolutely. I think the ghost mum is played by Dick Van Dyke.
Mm, okay.
So he got like an animated version of himself and he did it all on his...
Absolutely.
On DOS?
3D render of Dick Van Dyke, which you can buy on his website, dickvandyke.com, for $19.99 to use in your own projects. So he can truly be everywhere.
We should get some of that. If there's a Van Dyke in every sort of creative enterprise or Hollywood-esque production or any sort of...
Visual medium.
Any sort of like entertainment endeavor must mean one of us is a Van Dyke.
You are implying that this podcast is entertaining.
Well, yeah, that's true. I'm taking
it. Well, he did use the word endeavor.
Yeah, it is most certainly that. Yeah. It is a thing.
Okay.
Does it count? Well, Morgan already said he's changing his name to...
Dude, I will be changing my name to Van Dyke.
Mm. I think it's probably more accurate if it's 3 out of 4.
Mm.
3 out of 4 Van Dykes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Morgan Jordan, not the Van Dyke.
Well, I think you're going to Dre, so you're already making enough of a change.
Well, I'm sure if we all got our family trees out and traced it back, Van Dyke appears somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
It's like, Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
They're the two big, the two
pillars.
We're
all descendants of Van Dyke.
I mean, when Australia got colonised, there was all...
By the Van Dykes.
On Van Dyke land, which is now Tasmania, so we all go back there.
Yeah, that's right. They called it... It was Van Dyke's land, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sort of got mixed up that it was Van Diemen's land, but it's definitely not.
No.
It's a misnomer.
Mm.
It's a cover up.
But anyway, should we reboot this bad boy?
Let's do it.
Oh, I'll go first, if you guys don't mind.
Go for it.
Please.
So I think this show's pretty perfect as it is, so I'm not going to tinker with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've nailed it.
Just leave it.
I'd like to see them explore more about Dick Van Dyke. I found that the most interesting.
There's not enough Dick Van Dyke for you. Okay.
I need more Van Dyke. So I'm going to do basically a travel series hosted by Nick Kroll and Richard Ayoade.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what Kroll and Ayoade do, they travel around the world to different places to track down Dick Van Dyke's secret families. So, start of the show, they speak to Van Dyke and he gives them the clue where they have to go. And they basically have to go solve a mystery. So, like, they'll go to, like, Barcelona and track down Dick Van Dyke's secret family in Barcelona.
Yep.
Then they'll go to, like...
One of.
Yeah, there's many. There's multiple.
And many in, like, each city, surely.
Yeah. Most likely, yeah. But it's like, you know, you want to travel around. So, it's just kind of the... Those two comedians just getting around, just having a bit of fun, finding the Van Dykes, and they'll go to Van Dykes Land down in Van Dyke Land.
So there'll be quite a few there.
Does he sort of give them the task at the start of each episode?
Yeah, so basically they go
kind of like
they go to his office, and he just comes in a different form of transport.
kind of like Idiot Abroad, where you know Carl Pilkington would come in, and Stephen Merchant, and Ricky Gervais are at the desk, and like going here this week.
Yeah, it's a bit like that. Except, you know, it's just Van Dyke and then there's, Ayoade and Kroll.
I think it's good because no matter how they take the clues, they can't really go wrong because they're going to find a Van Dyke family regardless. Whatever path they take.
Exactly. Why Ayoade and Kroll? That's the question.
Are they the only two people in Hollywood who aren't related to Van Dykes?
I believe so.
Okay.
Which is why, that's my I did the genealogy and those two are not related, so... So I picked those two.
They're the only two that could be completely impartial.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I picked Kroll because he's funny and Ayoade because he's on that show Travel Man. So I figured he's got a bit of experience traveling and Kroll's a real... Yeah, he's pretty wily. It is called Diagnosis Dick.
Yes.
Good.
And yeah, that's my reboot.
I'd watch it. I would definitely watch it.
Jez? So mine is not so much a TV show as it is... an extra enterprise for Dick within the Diagnosis Murder universe.
He's not busy enough.
Look, he's obviously got, you know, he moonlights as a detective. He's a doctor during the day. I reckon he's got 3 or 4 hours that he needs to fill in each day. And what better way to do it than open up a restaurant in the hospital cafeteria called Diagnosis Burger and staff it with the Van Dyke clan. You get Craig on the fryer.
I reckon that's about Craig's level.
Yeah, Barry would probably be the store manager. And
some authority.
The two smaller, weaker Van Dykes from the last episode can sort of run the register.
Perfect. Mm. Yeah. Diagnosis Burger.
Diagnosis Burger.
I think we should open up a chain called Diagnosis Burger.
Yeah, a Diagnosis Murder themed burger chain.
I reckon there's
good money in it. Maybe. Well, there's enough Van Dykes that would see it and be like, I should eat it.
That's, I wonder if Dad had anything.
Grandpa
to do with
Dick's restaurant.
Diagnosis Burger.
Diagnosis Burger. Coming to a hospital cafeteria.
Is it weird that it's made me quite hungry?
Yeah, actually.
Just thinking about it
now.
To
be honest, I am now quite hungry.
And, you know, they could use sort of unused medical sort of waste from the hospital in their food.
But anything's possible.
Recycling's, the kids are really into it these days. So, take someone's kidney out. Just mince it up, you know, chuck it in a patty.
Okay. Yeah, it's not going anywhere else.
No. Exactly. It's going to go in the bin.
Exactly.
So what do they do? What do they actually do with, like, biological waste? Incinerate it?
I think they probably incinerate it.
This is why there's always incinerator at a hospital.
Interesting. Always. Haven't you noticed that, Jez? There's always an incinerator.
There's all that gasoline laying
around. Yeah, that's why there's kerosene there. They just burn it.
That was the incinerator. It's just like an empty like storage room that you just...
Yeah, just pour...
All those old boxes are just
throw the livers in.
Chuck a bunch of organs and just pour some petrol on it.
Yeah, how else do you think they do it?
Yeah, you're right. No. Can't think of any other ways. Mm. Yeah, Diagnosis Burger.
Nice. Diagnosis Burger.
All right, I'm going with a prequel to this TV series because I really feel like just the whole thing of how much police work there is with the doctoring is just insane. Mm. I feel like we didn't labor on that enough.
It makes too much overlap. Yeah.
So I want to go back to the beginning of that where DVD was learning the ropes. So back in the 1950s in America, in Denver, where Diagnosis Murder is set.
Is it set in Denver?
Yeah.
Oh.
It is. So they had to make a lot of budget cuts back then. They couldn't afford all the specialized schools, so they had to combine some services together. So that's how DVD found his way to the Doctor Academy, where over 4 years, he'll get the training he needs to be a medical doctor and a police officer.
Yes.
So one day, he'll be like studying some intricacies of internal medicine, and then the next day, he'll just be like scaling walls and shooting perps while like a drill nurse berates him.
Nice.
So it's just a kind of wacky college comedy where he's just pulling pranks and chatting up babes.
Are you just going to get Dick Van Dyke to play Dick Van Dyke?
Or is it Barry Van Dyke playing
the hair.
Young
he's got the hair.
Dick Van Dyke?
Just dye the hair, dye the mo.
He definitely wouldn't give up the role. Like, he wouldn't let one of his children play him.
If he can relive his young days. but he'll be like learning the to read the Miranda rights to a perp slash patient when he arrests slash diagnoses him. So give him the old, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a theater of surgery. You have the right to a second opinion if you cannot afford one, and will be provided to you.
What is it called?
Doctor Academy.
Doctor Academy. I like it. I like the sound of it too. Mm-hmm. It would actually help clear up some of the muddy water that is his life.
Scott? That's incredible. All right. I think on the whole, we can all agree that this hospital, there's probably a lot of untoward things going on. I probably could use the word malpractice.
I think you're
putting it lightly.
Words, yeah.
Putting it lightly? Okay. Yeah. Well, it's gotten to a point where I think there needs to be some sort of investigation. So after an internal investigation, the chief of internal medicine, Dr. Mark Sloan, a.k.a. Dick Van Dyke, is brought in front of a congressional hearing. So that's what we're going to be watching, much like the Facebook Mark Zuckerberg hearing. So just to give you an idea of how that would go, I think we're just going to do a little bit of an exercise and we're going to be playing some congressmen. So just bear with me for a moment.
Oh, okay.
So just don't look at these before. Just like you got to kind of like scroll through them. Don't go ahead. You'll all have your parts.
So
okay.
We can give him some
rolls.
Some notes. We're doing a live read.
So
it's like a radio play.
Here we go.
I'm just sorry. You've got Congressman Colin here. You've misspelled my name. It's actually
Van Dyke.
Van Dyke.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. We can change that in post. Okay. That's fine.
Yeah,
okay.
Good. Mine should say Dre.
Congressman Dre.
Yeah.
You're dropping the wise. I'm just going to have Dre. Like
I'm just
Seal?
Dre, yeah. Okay. Like Fran Drescher.
Like Fran Drescher.
Just one name. That's all I need.
So we'll start the inquiry, this hearing, with a line of questioning from Congressman Wiseman. Can you please ask your first question?
Mark, 15 months ago, a patient sued you for malpractice for intentionally infecting her scalp with a flesh-eating virus in order to, and this is in your words, exorcise a demon from her soul.
Unfortunately, it started in the middle of her back.
Do you find this matter funny, Dr. Sloan?
Of course I do.
Do you think she has a good chance of recovery after this so-called procedure?
No, of course not now, anyway.
Okay, we'll move on now and progress to Congressman Cole / Congressman Van Dyke.
Only 3 days ago, you entered an operating theatre and started yelling at the surgeon that he should have completed the double bypass in 12 minutes instead of the usual 9-hour procedure.
Well, I know it's possible. Timed it myself.
And you can tell Congress what happened to this patient?
You never know. He died last night.
Wouldn't you say that constitutes a breach of trust between not only you and the patient, but also the acting surgeon?
Oh, gee, I don't think so.
Okay, I think that's just about enough from Congressman Cole. Finally, we'll end this with Congressman Boughton.
We're not really getting much out of him.
No, he's very cagey.
Very cagey. Dr. Sloan, can you please explain to us your approach to future hospital funding options, considering the high volume of legal action taken against your hospital in the previous 8 years?
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven.
Dr. Sloan, I don't think that's a feasible option
don't
in order
you know?
To...
Each cloud contains pennies from heaven.
So I think it's just a little bit of a highlight from the hearing. Don't think it went very well. He's not very receptive to questioning.
Not doing himself any favours.
No. Really trying to wriggle out of it. Work his musical numbers in.
Just trying to dazzle everyone.
Yeah.
I'm sure President Van Dyke will pardon him though.
I'm sure he's got his back. Exactly. He won't have any issues.
Yeah, so I don't have a title for it. Maybe like The Hearing. I don't know.
Yeah. People versus something like that. Dr. Sloan.
People versus DVD.
I would watch the shit out of that just for his...
Stepping
around things.
Just an hour of that.
He's bulletproof.
Rollerblading around things.
Exactly.
Scooting around things.
Classic Van Dyke.
You really can't pin him down.
Do you think he ever used a... when did the Segway get invented?
The conversational device?
Yes.
Which you just neglected to use just then.
I did, yeah. Do you think he segued around the hospital at some point?
I think
I'm
almost
certain of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that piece of technology was made for him.
It was. Arguably, I mean, he could have invented it.
Probably did.
Knocked up a couple of bucks. A computer model on his for himself using his animation skills.
Apple Mac. Apple Macintosh.
Anyway, that solid reboots. Pretty happy with all those.
I like this, Scott. I like where this has gone.
I like the interactivity here. This is taking to the next level.
Yeah.
We should, I was going to record them all myself, and I was like, I don't have time for that. I'm just going to get you guys to read them. It'll be fine.
I'm all in. Anyway, should we move to IMDb list of the week?
Oh, yes, we should.
Oh, yes.
I am so excited for this one.
Aaron was talking this one up. Oh.
Is it just a list of all the Van Dyke? We could be here for an hour.
Well, that's what IMDb is. Remember, yeah, that's the Van Dyke database. No, this is a list from user A17 titled Personal Comments and Stories from People I've Met, Known, and Worked With. So this is a gentleman who is, by the looks of it, a makeup artist in Hollywood.
Okay.
And has worked with a lot of different actors. So they introduced the list by saying, people keep telling me that I need to write a book on all the people I've worked with in the industry. Sounds nice, but I'm not one for sitting down and writing things in any kind of order. I can relate stories, and most people think I do it well. So here goes with my non-book story of my wonderful life in the entertainment industry. And they proceed to give a detailed account of 51 different actors, actresses, other people that they've had encounters with.
Ooh.
Most of them quite old. I think this gentleman, he actually links to his own IMDb profile.
Oh.
Yeah. I think he's...
Bit of a flex.
Yeah. He's in his 70s at least. But the gentleman from Diagnosis Murder is Scott Baio, who he had a run-in with.
Baio.
So he's a big fan. He says he's one of the nicest people he's ever worked with, very professional and really does care for the production, cast and crew. But he goes on to tell the story of when he was working with Scott and got the vibe that Scott was uncomfortable that he was gay. He does say, at no time did I ever think Scott was homophobic. Who knows what was going on in his mind? But whatever it was real. And he had every right to feel the way that he felt. I'm just glad that with time, he changed and considered me a friend, not just a makeup artist.
What the hell?
Story this of redemption.
Really sounds like a book.
Why is he justifying his homophobia?
I don't know. But he does go on to talk about their friendship. And when he and Scott Baio went on a double date. So
what?
Scott with his fiance and this gentleman with his partner. And although they weren't super close friends, he does say that Scott's fiance suggested that the four of them have a double wedding ceremony in Sweden.
None of this adds up.
What is going on?
Please. He says, I looked at Scott's face across the table from me, and it really showed how shocked he was, in brackets, not a good actor at the time. Like I said, I was shocked, but I laughed and said, as much as we'd love to, I just don't think it would be a good career move for Scott at this time.
To marry...
have a double wedding with someone else.
With a really makeup artist.
So he was really looking out for Scott's career.
It's not really a career move.
And that was it. We dropped the conversation and moved on to something else.
Oh, my God.
Yes. So there's... Yeah.
So are they all like this?
Yeah. Yeah, they're all sort of similar stories. There's one where he was doing makeup for Ed Begley Jr. and told him to put mayonnaise on his lips when he slept because his lips were too dry.
Ed Begley Jr. should?
Yes, because he was doing makeup for him and it'd be a really cracked lip. So he's like, got to put some mayonnaise on those. And Ed Begley Jr. was like, I'm a vegan. I can't do that.
And I'm sure Ed Begley Jr. was like, no, I wouldn't do it. He's probably not even a vegan. He probably just said an excuse, I'm not putting mayonnaise on my lips.
Mayonnaise all over the bed.
He does close the list off by saying, since he doesn't have social media, and this invitation goes out to all our listeners, of course, I give you full permission to feel free to put this link, put this list on your Facebook and other social media pages. Let's make this list soar.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't respectfully decline his offer.
It's like a little biography.
Yeah.
The life and times of... What is this gentleman's name?
He signs off every individual comment with Damon Charles.
Damon Charles. We should do Damon the Solid. We should put it on the Incomplete series.
Oh, we have to. It is. Yeah. There's a lot of reading here.
So
it's got Charlton Heston.
Yeah. Oh, Charlton Heston.
He's got Mickey Rooney, Merv Griffin.
Oh, Merv Griffin.
So he's from another time.
Mm. He is.
Back when Scott Baio was single and relevant. I don't know.
I don't think Scott Baio's doing too great.
Thoughts on this list? Morgan, you're perplexed.
That was just the weirdest story.
It's a bizarre one.
Like, I went on a double date with Scott Baio and his fiance suggested we get a double wedding.
In Sweden.
It's just so strange.
And also untrue.
I don't know. I think so too. I believe it. I 100% very sincere.
With an acquaintance, so like a colleague basically that you've interacted with a couple of times, go on like dinner.
He sounds like a lovely gentleman.
But
he is. But also, how presumptuous that Scott Baio is homophobic, and then you went, and, but Scott Baio went on a double date with him later. Like, what? I just don't. It bothers me.
It's unsettling.
So it's very unsettling.
So what you're saying is you want him to release a longer form book so you can really dive deep into the
interaction.
I want to
hear Scott Baio's part of the story.
Oh, okay. You want to... All right.
I have heard he's a crippling homophobic. We'll find... So I'd like to find out.
You'd like to find true. Scott Baio's list.
Exactly. Scott Baio's... People I'm homophobic of. By Scott Baio. I'm sure there's a list out there of it. I'm sure. Well, anyway, I could sit here and savage Scott Baio all day, but we don't have time for that. So, final thoughts on Diagnosis Murder, Jez?
I feel like... some of the TIS greats, Baywatch Nights, etc. Mm. I feel like it could be some value in going back and watching some random episodes because, like you said, the first episode was pretty funny and funny is in like absurd and I don't know. I feel like there could be some entertainment to be drawn from some of the more ridiculous plots.
I agree. Because we can see the scale of wackiness from 1 to 178.
Yeah, so somewhere in the middle there would have been perfect.
The sweet spot.
Yep.
There's almost certainly going to be a selection of absolute pearlers that you would really want to invest the time into.
And I do
we'll be tracking them down.
Very much want to go back and see Dick Van Dyke's CGI skills.
Yes. That is the one thing that we all definitely need to see.
Yeah, I would definitely go see that, but I don't think I'll give any more of it my time. I reckon that last episode was one of the worst episodes we've watched.
It was very really bad. Yeah.
Like, it wasn't as painful to watch as some others, but they just absolutely phoned it in.
Straight out of the gate
It was just Dick literally gave the keys to the kids and they shut the bed.
They were not ready.
No, they weren't. Him and Barry are barely in it. They carry the whole episode and it's a disaster. Like, it's an absolute disaster.
It is.
Scott, what about you?
A couple of episodes, maybe I could watch, but just the effort that it would take in order to find them. Mm. If we can track down the one... where there's evil version of Van Dyke.
I
want to see that one.
I'm not sure if it's...
If it's
that show, it could be... I want some of... Van Dyke has got a large body of work.
If it's not, we'll make it.
It sounds so reasonable.
It's completely within this universe of Diagnosis Murder.
Yeah.
As you know, I very much enjoyed this show. I had a wonderful time.
Even the last episode?
Not so much the last episode. I tend to agree with you guys in saying it is... like in terms of production, it is probably the worst one we've seen. Like,
Because they filmed it in Denver.
Even Baywatch Nights had that covered.
Better production values. Yeah, it did. It was very lazy. It's like they filmed it in
in Denver?
At Dick's house in Denver. Yeah. Why did they choose Denver?
Variation.
But they may as well have chosen Delaware.
He likes things with D's and V's in it.
That's true.
He's naturally drawn to
actually, you know what? That's probably the reason.
I would not be surprised. I absolutely wouldn't be surprised.
But yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I might seek out some of the wackier episodes and have a look. But I'm not going to be rushing to watch this from start to finish.
No.
From cover to cover.
But start and finish.
78 episodes.
That's what we're good at.
178.
Yeah.
That's a
solid.
That's a lot.
Ouch.
Yeah.
It is a lot.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll probably just leave it there. Don't want Dick Van Dyke. There we go. Tracking us down like Betty White and killing us all, so we can't criticize him much longer.
I think we'll have him. He's 92.
you think we've got him covered?
I think we've got him covered. Yeah.
So he'll be like Neo fighting all the Agent Smiths on the Matrix, but exactly. they're all Van Dykes.
Bring an army.
That's true.
But I'd be concerned because you thought you had Sidney Poitier covered. Yeah.
He's also a Van Dyke.
So Jeremy, where can people find us online?
TheIncompleteSeries.com or our social media accounts.
Jump on there, give us a like, and give this list a like as well. Make this list sore.
Make
it
give it the love it deserves. We'll share it, we'll drop a link to it, and if you feel so inclined, you can bring the attention to it, which it clearly deserves.
And if your lips are chapped, chuck some mayonnaise on there.
Yeah.
Tell
us the results.
See what happens.
Mayonnaise all over the pillow. That's what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you right now.
That's what my money's on. But
we don't know. We'll get some people to get some of our listeners to do it and get some feedback. And we'll find out next episode. Anyway, we'll probably just leave it there. So thank you, Jez.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you, Morgan.
And thank you, Scott.
Thank you, everyone.